Welcome to this deep dive. I am so excited about today's topic because, well, when you think about energy like pure, unadulterated biological fuel fat is basically the gold standard.
Oh, absolutely. It's the most dense energy source we have.
Right. It packs, what, more than twice the energy per gram compared to carbs or proteins. So, if you want to bulk up or fuel this massive growth phase, standard logic says you just add fat to the diet.
Exactly. I mean, that's nutrition 101.
But I was reading through this recent research, specifically this 2026 systematic review from the Australian Journal of Agricultural, Veterinary, and Animal Sciences, and I realized something that completely flipped my understanding of nutrition.
Yeah, it's a wild paper. They looked at 10 years of data from 2014 to 2024.
Yeah. And when you look at ruminants, so cattle, sheep, goats, this whole golden rule of, fat equals energy, it gets completely turned on its head. Because in their world, feeding them raw, unprotected fat is practically like feeding them poison,
It really is. It actively destroys their gut microbiome.
which is just crazy to me.
It's a brilliant and honestly a pretty frustrating biological paradox. For you, the listener, I mean, think about it. We have these massive agricultural animals that need incredible amounts of energy to reach their growth potential, right?
Right.
And yet their natural digestive systems actively reject the most efficient, calorie-dense energy source we have available.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because to understand how scientists are now solving this, we really have to understand the problem they're up against. The ruminant stomach, specifically the rumen, it's not just a vat of acid like a human stomach.
No, not at all.
It's essentially this highly sensitive fermentation brewery. It's filled with this delicate, complex ecosystem of microbes that they specialize in breaking down fibrous plant material.
Exactly.
So if you take raw vegetable oil and just dump it into that pristine microbial brewery,
Yeah.
you completely ruin the brew.
You do. Because that fermentation process, it relies on a very specific group of microorganisms called fibrolytic bacteria.
Fibrolytic,
Yeah.
meaning they break down fiber.
Right. Their entire job is to ferment and degrade fiber. But when you introduce too much unprotected fat, specifically these free polyunsaturated fatty acids or PUFAs, it physically coats the fibrous feed particles inside the rumen.
Oh, so it just smothers the food.
Basically, yeah. It creates a literal waterproof, slippery barrier around the grass and hay. So the bacteria, they literally cannot physically attach to their food source to break it down.
So they're just like sliding off the grass.
Yeah, exactly.
But it goes beyond just starving them, right? Because the review mentioned something called an amphiphilic toxic effect. And wait, amphiphilic, is that like how soap works? Like it loves both water and fat, so it just dissolves grease?
That is actually a really excellent comparison. An amphiphilic molecule has a water-loving head and a fat-loving tail.
Oh, yeah.
So just like soap breaks apart grease on a frying pan, these free fatty acids insert their fat-loving tails directly into the delicate cell membranes of the ruminal bacteria.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they act as a biological detergent. They literally dissolve and rupture the cellular walls of the very microbes that keep the animal alive.
That is brutal. So, which means if microbes die, digestion just stops. I mean, the animal could stand in a field and eat all the grass at once, but it won't extract a single nutrient.
Right. It's literally starving on a full stomach.
Man. So obviously the rumen has to defend itself. And this is where the microscopic biology gets just completely wild. The microbes fight back with a chemical process called biohydrogenation.
And what's fascinating here is the sheer just brutal efficiency of this defense mechanism. Because ruminants naturally consume a small amount of fats like linoleic and linolenic acids in their natural plant-based diet.
Sure, there's always a little bit of fat in grass.
Exactly. But when a high volume of these unsaturated fats enters the rumen, the microbial ecosystem basically hits the panic button.
They realize they're under attack.
Right. So they deploy these specialized isomerase enzymes to actively attack the double bonds of those polyunsaturated fats.
I love the imagery of this. It's like the rumen microbes are these incredibly strict bouncers at this exclusive nightclub.
That's a good way to look at it.
Right. And the unsaturated fats, they're trying to get in wearing the wrong outfits, those molecular double bonds. But the bouncers won't just turn them away. They like aggressively force them to change their clothes right there on the sidewalk before they're allowed into the club.
Yes. And they alter the molecular wardrobe step by step. So the isomerase enzymes act first, forcibly rearranging the molecular structure of the linoleic acid into something called conjugated linoleic acid, or CLA.
Okay, so step one, turn it into CLA.
Right. Then completely different bacteria take over and reduce it further into vaccinic acid.
Vaccinic acid, got it.
And finally, if the microbial bouncers do their job completely, they saturate the fat entirely, turning it into stearic acid. Through this whole biohydrogenation process, the microbes can take up to 95% of the healthy polyunsaturated fats the animal eats and just aggressively hydrogenate them into fully saturated solid fats that, well, they can't act like soap anymore.
Okay, wait. I have to push back on this for a second.
Sure.
Because if these microbial bouncers are destroying up to 95% of the healthy unsaturated fats just to protect themselves, how does any grass-fed cow ever survive, let alone produce nutrient-rich meat? I mean, are they just constantly living on the edge of energy starvation because their own stomach is fighting their food?
Yeah, well, it's a matter of evolutionary scale, you know. Yeah. A natural grass diet is inherently very low in fat to begin with.
Okay, that makes sense.
The microbes evolved to handle those naturally small amounts of linoleic acid found in pasture grass without a problem. The animal gets enough energy to survive, to roam, and reproduce. But evolutionary survival is a completely different metric than optimal agricultural production. The modern agricultural demands placed on these animals, they require significantly higher energy densities for, you know, rapid muscle growth and finishing.
Okay, so we are asking the animal to perform at a metabolic level that it just wasn't evolutionarily designed to handle. We need them to process these massive calorie-dense payloads quickly, and their natural defense system is literally standing in the way.
Exactly. Which is what forced the invention of lipid protection technologies.
Right.
Agricultural scientists realized decades ago that we just could not fight the rumen microbes directly. They will always win. We had to figure out how to bypass them entirely.
And the researchers in this review, they looked at that 10 years of data showing exactly how science is pulling off this, like, biological heist. You have to sneak the fat past the bouncers without them ever noticing.
And the underlying chemistry to achieve that is remarkably elegant. The goal is to create a fat compound that is chemically inert.
Meaning it won't react with anything.
Right. It simply will not react or dissolve at a neutral pH. The rumen, our fermentation brewery, operates at roughly a neutral pH, usually around 6.0 to 6.5.
Okay.
So if the fat is encased in a protective barrier that stays completely solid in that neutral environment, it just floats right through the rumen, completely ignored by the microbial bouncers.
It's wearing a chemical invisibility cloak.
Basically, yes.
But wait, it can't stay invisible forever, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, the animal would just pass it right through its digestive tract entirely. And then we're back to zero energy.
Right. The cloak has a highly specific built-in self-destruct mechanism, and it's triggered by the animal's own anatomy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Once the protected fat safely passes through the rumen, it moves down into the abomasum, which is the ruminant's true stomach.
Okay, the true stomach.
Right. And unlike the neutral rumen, the abomasum is highly acidic. The pH drops down to like 2.0 or 2.5.
It's a huge drop.
It is. And that sudden steep drop in pH acts as a chemical key. It rapidly dissolves the protective layer, releasing the free fat directly into the lower intestine, where it can be absorbed perfectly, far away from any delicate fermentation microbes.
That is so clever. And the review outlines a few different ways we've built these cloaks over the years. Like, the traditional methods seem pretty old school but effective. They use things like calcium salts of fatty acids.
Yes.
There's a commercial product mentioned in the paper called LactoPlus that does this. You essentially bind the fatty acid molecules to calcium.
Correct.
And the calcium bond is strong enough to stay rock solid in the neutral rumen water, but the intense acid in the true stomach just strips the calcium away, freeing the fat.
Exactly. And those traditional calcium salt methods, they've been the backbone of high-energy ruminant diets for a long time. They do work, but the recent data, you know, this 2014 to 2024 window, it shows this massive, sophisticated shift toward advanced biopolymer encapsulation using nanotechnology.
Nanotechnology in cow feed.
I know, it sounds crazy, but we are no longer just making simple chemical salts. We are manipulating these biological barriers at a microscopic structural level.
Okay, and the review highlights one specific tech that caught my eye. Calcium alginate nanocapsules. And from what I gather, alginate is a substance extracted from brown seaweed, right?
Yes, that's right.
So scientists create these tiny, perfectly engineered molecular spheres that physically lock the liquid fat inside this intricate gel matrix.
Exactly.
And the data shows they're incredibly effective. Because they trap the fat so perfectly, they optimize nutrient disappearance and maintain robust gas production in the rumen, which I assume is the ultimate sign that the microbes are happy, healthy, and just fermenting fiber at full capacity.
It is the perfect indicator.
But, and here's where it gets really interesting to me, I saw something in the data about chitosan.
Ah, yes. You are looking at the chitosan paradox.
Yes, because the study mentions this other, even newer technology alongside the seaweed extract, chitosan encapsulation. Now, chitosan is this cutting-edge biopolymer derived from the exoskeletons of crustaceans, like shrimp and crabs. It sounds incredibly high-tech, but the data says it actually depressed nutrient digestibility. It made the animal's digestion worse. Why would a highly advanced nanotech encapsulation fail so badly compared to just, like, wrapping the fat in seaweed alginate?
It really comes down to understanding the deeper biological nuance of the physical materials we choose to use.
Mm.
Because chitosan is a structurally incredible material for encapsulation, but it possesses strong intrinsic antimicrobial properties.
Wait, antimicrobial, as in the material itself actively kills bacteria?
Yes, it does. So the chitosan does successfully encapsulate the fat. It protects the fat from being biohydrogenated by the bouncers.
Right.
But as that chitosan capsule just sits in the rumen fluid, waiting to pass through, the surface of the chitosan itself begins to act non-selectively against the ruminal microbial ecosystem. It chemically depresses their activity.
Oh, wow.
So you've successfully protected the fat, but you've unwittingly introduced a slow-release antimicrobial agent into a fermentation bed that relies entirely on living microbes.
So you successfully sneak the fat past the bouncers in an invisibility cloak. But your cloak is accidentally releasing tear gas into the club.
That is a perfect way to put it. And when the tear gas clears the room, nobody is left digesting the fiber.
Man.
The animal's ability to extract energy from its baseline diet of grass or hay just plummets. It perfectly highlights why we can't just blindly apply nanotechnology in agriculture. The chemical nature of the protective matrix matters just as much as the protection itself.
That is wild. Okay, so let's assume we use the right technology. Like the calcium alginate spheres. We successfully bypass the rumen without gassing the club. The fat gets to the acidic true stomach. The seaweed matrix dissolves, and this massive payload of fat absorbs into the intestines.
Yeah.
We've solved the microscopic bottleneck.
We have.
But this systematic review didn't just look at the mechanics of how it works. They ran the numbers on what actually happens to the animal's overall growth when you flood its system with this bypassed energy. And honestly, the math here is staggering.
It really is. The analytical core of this 2026 paper is this correlation analysis mapping three vital metrics across all these studies.
Okay, what are they?
So you have dry matter intake, which is the sheer volume of food the animal eats. Then dry matter digestibility, which is how efficiently the animal's gut breaks that food down.
Right.
And finally, daily weight gain, which measures the actual biological growth and tissue deposition.
Let's break these correlations down because they tell a story that goes against everything I feel like we think we know about digestion. First, they looked at intake versus digestibility, and they found a strong negative correlation of negatives 0.71.
Yes.
Meaning the more volume the animal eats, the worse its body gets at actually digesting that food.
Which actually makes perfect physiological sense when you consider the mechanics of digestive transit time. I mean, the animal's digestive tract is essentially a fixed length tube.
Right.
When an animal is consuming an exceptionally high volume of feed, especially energy dense feed, the physical pressure of that new intake forces the existing digesta to pass through the system faster. The rate of passage naturally accelerates.
Okay, so it's like a factory assembly line.
Yeah.
If you're the manager and you just crank up the speed on the conveyor belt to force more raw materials inside, your workers, like the enzymes and the gut flora, they literally have less physical contact time to work on each piece of food.
Exactly.
You're going to drop a few items. You lose extraction efficiency.
Yeah.
Your overall digestibility percentage drops because you are just rushing the process.
Right. The passage rate accelerates so much that it leaves insufficient time for complete microbial fermentation and enzymatic breakdown. And, you know, standard agricultural logic and even standard human dietary logic might suggest this is a failure.
Yeah.
Like, if your digestibility drops, you are wasting food. You aren't utilizing the feed optimally.
Right. Nobody wants an inefficient, wasteful factory.
Yeah.
But then we look at the second correlation, intake versus daily weight gain.
And this is the kicker.
This one is a massive positive correlation of 0.86. The more they eat, the more they grow, plain and simple, despite the drop deficiency. And then the final piece of the puzzle of digestibility versus weight gain, it shows a correlation of negative 0.13.
Which is a statistically negligible link. It is essentially zero.
Zero. So what does this all mean? The actual efficiency of the digestion process almost completely detaches from the biological growth of the animal.
Yeah. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it reveals a fundamental truth about bioenergetics. For you listening, this is the main takeaway. Biological growth at scale is driven by absolute net energy volume over minor digestive efficiency.
Volume beats efficiency.
Every single time. The sheer absolute volume of high-density caloric energy provided by these protected fats completely overrides the slight percentage drop in digestive breakdown. Yes, the conveyor belt is moving too fast. Yes, some unfermented fiber is being lost and passed through the animal. But at the end of the day, the massive, concentrated influx of raw, high-energy fat absorbing in the lower intestines means the total end-of-day production, the animal's tissue deposition and weight gain, is massively higher.
Wow.
The absolute net energy intake dictates the productive response completely, regardless of minor gut spillage.
That is such a huge paradigm shift. I mean, we spend so much time obsessed with efficiency, how to optimize, how to get the most out of every single bite of food, or, I don't know, in our own lives, the most out of every single minute of work.
True.
But biology is stating clearly here, sometimes you just need raw volume. You just brute force the energy equation.
It is a brute force approach, but a highly targeted one. You have to remember, you can only brute force the energy volume because you used advanced material science to bypass the primary biological bottleneck in the first place.
Right.
Without the encapsulation, that massive volume would just kill the rumen microbes and the animal would starve.
Okay, so we had this massive influx of raw fat successfully bypassing the rumen, getting absorbed directly into the intestines, and driving this explosive tissue growth, which naturally brings up a question about the final product. The meat.
Of course.
Because if we are brute forcing these animals with a fire hose of high energy fats, I have to ask, doesn't the meat just become a soggy, greasy mess? Nobody wants a texturally unappealing, overly fatty steak. Biology usually demands a penalty when you force a system like this.
It is a very valid biological concern, and it's something the researchers tracked meticulously across the 10 years of data.
Yeah.
To understand why it doesn't turn into a greasy mess, we have to go back to our microbial bouncers.
Okay, the bouncers.
Because the protected polyunsaturated fats, the PUFAs bypass the rumen completely, they are never attacked by the isomerase enzymes. They are never biohydrogenated into saturated fats.
Right, because they were in the invisibility cloak.
Exactly. So they arrive in the intestines completely intact.
So they keep their molecular double bonds. Mm-hmm. They stay fully unsaturated.
Precisely. And fat absorption in the intestines is a complex logistical process. Fat doesn't mix with blood, which is water-based.
Right.
So the intestines have to package these unsaturated fats into micellar structures, basically tiny biological soap bubbles that make the fat soluble. These are then repacked into larger transport vehicles called chylomembranes or chylomicrons.
So the chylomembranes are like biological FedEx boxes that allow the fat to safely float through the watery bloodstream.
Exactly. And these FedEx boxes bypass the liver initially and transport the unsaturated fats directly to the peripheral tissues.
Meaning the muscle tissue.
Yes. We are delivering intact, premium polyunsaturated fats straight to the muscle fiber.
So we are directly altering the lipid architecture of the animal's muscle from the inside out.
We are fundamentally reprogramming it. By bypassing the rumen, the data shows we successfully elevate the concentrations of specific desirable fats like oleic and linoleic acids directly within the muscle tissue. And increased levels of these specific unsaturated fats are highly correlated with enhanced meat palatability, tenderness, and a much richer flavor profile for the end consumer.
But what about the physical texture? Does the meat fall apart?
No, the science avoids the soggy steak scenario precisely because the ruminal environment remains stable throughout the feeding process.
Because we used calcium alginate instead of the chitosan tear gas.
Exactly. We didn't kill the fiber-digesting microbes. The animal maintained a healthy baseline energy extraction from its normal forage. The extra energy from the protected fat simply provides an abundance of acetyl-CoA subunits.
Wait, acetyl-CoA subunits?
Think of acetyl-CoA as the basic cellular currency, or like the molecular Legos used to build fat cells.
Okay, molecular Legos.
Because the animal has this massive surplus of these molecular Legos from the protected fat diet, it uses them primarily for adipose tissue deposition, specifically the subcutaneous finish, which is the protective fat layer on the outside of the muscle, and fine intramuscular marbling. It enriches the flavor and juiciness without degrading the physical protein structure of the muscle fibers themselves. The carcass traits metrics like cooking loss, shear force, which measures how tough the meat is, and even the visual color of the meat, they remain incredibly stable.
So we get tastier, more highly marbled premium meat without compromising the actual physical structure of the cut.
Yes. And there is a specific 2023 study by Widianto and colleagues highlighted in this review that takes this structural reprogramming a step further.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they didn't just use a standard protected vegetable oil. They used protected kapok seed oil, which is naturally very high in specific complex polyunsaturated fats. But they combined the protected fat capsule with an additive called choline chloride.
Choline chloride. What does adding that into the mix actually do?
Well, to understand choline chloride, you have to look at the liver's role in lipid metabolism. Even with our biological FedEx boxes, processing massive amounts of fat can cause a bottleneck in the animal's liver. If fat gets stuck there, it builds up as cholesterol and can cause fatty liver disease. Choline chloride acts as a lipotropic factor. Think of it as a chemical logistics manager.
A logistics manager.
Right. It binds to the fats in the liver, packages them into specialized lipoproteins, and forcefully escorts them out of the liver and straight into the muscle tissue.
So the choline acts as a dedicated escort, ensuring the fat doesn't get lazy and build up as cholesterol in the organs, but instead gets pushed right into the muscle where we want it.
Precisely. And by combining the protected kapok seed oil with this choline escort, they achieved something remarkable. The data showed they actually reduced the total intramuscular cholesterol in the final meat product.
Wait, really?
Yes. While simultaneously depositing premium, highly sought after omega-6 fatty acids directly into the tissue.
Let me make sure I have this right. They engineered a steak that has lower overall cholesterol, but is densely packed with the premium omega-6 fatty acids we specifically want in our own human diets.
They did. By deeply understanding the metabolic pathways, you know, protecting the fat from the rumen bouncers with nanotech, and then actively guiding its final deposition with a logistics manager like choline chloride, they upgraded the core nutritional value of the final product while still maximizing the animal's sheer growth volume.
That is just an incredible arc of scientific problem solving. We've gone on such a journey here. Let's recap this, because the way the science stacks on top of itself is just brilliant.
It really is a fascinating progression.
We started with this basic frustrating problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
High energy fats are toxic to the ruminant gut. The microbial bouncers fight them off, destroying 95% of the healthy fats through biohydrogenation just to keep the stomach's fermentation brewery alive.
A completely necessary biological defense, but a massive bottleneck for agricultural energy demands.
Right. So to beat the system, we invented stealth cloaks, first with basic calcium salts that dissolve in acid, and now with advanced nanotechnology like seaweed-derived calcium alginate spheres. And we learned the hard way to avoid materials like quinosan that accidentally act like tear gas and shut down the digestion anyway.
That was a crucial learning curve.
For sure. So we successfully sneak the fat past the bouncers, it drops into the acidic true stomach, the cloak dissolves, and boom, massive energy release into the intestines.
Which revealed that ultimate bioenergetic trade-off.
Yes, the great factory conveyor belt realization. That when it comes to explosive biological growth, sheer caloric volume and absolute energy intake beat perfect digestive efficiency every single time. Biology doesn't care if it drops a few items on the floor, as long as the total payload is massive.
Exactly.
And the end result of brute forcing that energy isn't a greasy mess, but actually a chemically reprogrammed, highly marbled premium meat product with lower cholesterol and higher omega-6s, thanks to chemical escorts like choline.
It is a perfect isolated example of how intervening at a microscopic cellular bottleneck can completely alter macro-level biological production.
It really is. It completely changes how you look at a simple piece of grass-fed versus grain-fed, or in this case, nanotech-fed beef. The level of cellular engineering happening inside that animal is mind-blowing.
And this raises an important question for you to consider listening to this today.
Oh, I like where this is going.
If we can now use structural nanotechnology like these calcium alginate biopolymers to fundamentally reprogram an animal's muscle lipid profile from the inside out, I mean, if we can completely sidestep its natural digestive bottlenecks and toxic responses with that level of precision, how far away are we from using similar targeted encapsulation technology in human diets?
Oh, wow.
Could we one day swallow our own dietary nanocapsules that intentionally bypass our specific metabolic limits, delivering highly concentrated specific nutrients directly to our muscle tissues or brain cells without our digestive system ever even knowing they were there?